The next case to be heard today is case number 2015-1431, Jakubowicz versus Cuyahoga County Board of Revision. For the appellant, Mr. Morton.
Morning, Your Honor.
Morning.
Alex Morton on behalf of the taxpayer, Mrs. Jakubowicz. I wanted to ask first, I pretty much said what I wanted to say in my brief. So my question for you is initially, do you have any questions for me? Are there particular areas of concern on this case for you?
I don't have anything off the top of my head. I'm familiar with the briefs and the record.
Okay.
If you're comfortable with resting on your brief, that's certainly your decision.
Well, I think what I'm going to do is probably be brief as far as what I have to say initially and then reserve my time.
Sure.
But I want to just point out that from our perspective, the issues in this case are legal, not factual. And so the review of this court is de novo, not with any deference to the Board of Tax Appeals. And then the other thing I'd like to point out is the issue we've raised here is the validity of the Cuyahoga County Computer Assisted Mass Appraisal process. I don't know, are you familiar at all with the Ross and Schwartz cases that the court decided a couple years ago?
I'm familiar with the cases.
Okay. Those cases were a product of the computer-assisted mass appraisal system. The values of those properties were appraised by the fiscal officer at over $100,000 each. This court reduced it down to $5,000, one of the properties, and the other was eventually reduced down to $30,000. The Moskowitz case, I don't know whether you're familiar with that one or not.
It's pending on reconsideration, I believe.
Yes, okay. The Moskowitz case, the initial determination by the fiscal officer, $148,000, reduced to $60,000 by the Board of Revision, and we said even that's too high. This court is probably aware of the number of appeals that have come to the BTA and to this court from Cuyahoga County. It's a matter of public record. I think Mr. Williamson of the Board of Tax Appeals was quoted in the Plain Dealer, the paper in Cleveland, and that is in the record on the second case that's going to be heard today, in the Mann case, about how the Board of Tax Appeals was backlogged with cases from Cuyahoga County. So I think it's clear that this court has all the empirical evidence that's needed to show that something is wrong with the computer-assisted mass appraisal system in Cuyahoga County. In this Jakubowicz case at the BTA, it was established. I guess I am going to go on a little bit longer than I initially thought. At the hearing in the Board of Tax Appeals, it was established that the computer-assisted mass appraisal system is not compliant with the standards of Kumho for expert testimony. Daubert, Kumho, expert testimony.
Isn't it authorized by administrative rule?
The first point I want to make is it's not acceptable under Daubert and Kumho as expert testimony.
Daubert's a federal standard. Are you asking us to import that into state standards?
It's in Ohio.
Okay.
It's in Ohio. But.
And so, in which case would you point to us for authority for that?
I can get it for you. I don't have it off the top of my head. It's probably in my computer.
And the BTA is not bound by the rules of evidence, is it?
I couldn't tell you, but I don't see why it wouldn't be.
Okay.
But let me, so, I mean, the point being is that it hasn't been peer-reviewed, the Cuyahoga County Computer System Mass Appraisal was not peer-reviewed. It hasn't even been tested. The real test, of course, is the number of appeals from Cuyahoga County. That's all the testing that this court really needs to know about. The massive number of appeals from Cuyahoga County are empirical proof that the CAMA system, computer-assisted mass appraisal, is flawed. Okay, point two. The administrative rule is that you can use a computer-assisted mass appraisal system, but it's got to be approved by the tax commissioner. The other point that was established at the Board of Tax Appeals hearing on this case was Shelley Wilson, who's the director of the Department of Tax, Division of Tax Equalization in the commissioner's office, herself testified that, no, we do not review the validity of the computer-assisted mass appraisal process. It's a whole statistical analysis. It's referred to as regression analysis, multiple regression analysis. I assure you that no one on the Board of Revision in Cuyahoga County understands it. No one on the Board of Tax Appeals understands it, and I doubt that anyone on this court understands it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Reading the record, Mr. Toledo, who is, my understanding, the administrator of CAMA for Cuyahoga County, initially assigned a value of 1.1, and then a field appraiser went out and jumped it to about 1.492. And in your brief, you're asking, one of your relief forms of relief that you're requesting is to go back down to 1.1. So I'm not sure how you're harmed by the CAMA. The relief you're requesting is the same value that it assigned.
Well, I mean, the Board of Revisions ruling was 1.4 million. The Board of Tax Appeals ruling is 1.4 million. That's how we're harmed. Yeah, we'll take 1.1 million. That's been offered. The county and the school board don't want to settle. That's why we're here. But my point being is that we proved 1.1 million through the evidence of Joe Toledo. Now, the field appraiser who bumped it up to 1.4, that's an unexplained adjustment that under the Dayton-Montgomery County case, this court has ruled that that type of change is not acceptable. County has to come in and explain what was this adjustment about?
Well, do they have a duty to explain? I mean, there's a long line of cases where the appellant at the BTA has a burden to come forth and demonstrate with probative and competent evidence that establishes their proposed value. And until you do that, I don't believe the county has a duty to explain its valuation.
Well, first of all, the Dayton-Montgomery County case is on point on that particular point, the unexplained adjustment. So they do have a duty to explain it. And then, you know, under Dayton-Montgomery County, but a deeper point is this. We subpoenaed the fiscal officer's appraisal staff to the Board of Revision hearing. All of this could have been resolved in Cuyahoga County. And that's a basis of error, is that they don't recognize the subpoena power in Cuyahoga County, the Board of Revision. I think it's probably the only Board of Revision like that, because all the other Board of Revisions, I think they will force someone in from the fiscal officer's staff or the auditor's staff if you request it.
Does the statute say subpoena? I thought it said something along the lines of the Board of Revision has the power to call persons.
Right, 57, 15.1.
Right.
But it really doesn't matter, because as a matter of constitutional law, you have an absolute right to confront the evidence against you. These are taxpayers who are being deprived of their property. The right of due process of law includes, and this is a federal right, if not the state of Ohio, which it is also, you have an absolute right to question the fiscal officer. I mean, there's no such thing as the fiscal officer can just determine the value and not be subject to cross-examination. That is clearly unconstitutional, if anyone ever purported to say it was the law. So, and that's an issue in this case. That subpoena should have been honored. Now, as it ended up, we got the evidence out of the Board of Tax Appeals. But this case should have been handled in Cuyahoga County. They should have been compelled to come into the Board of Revision in Cuyahoga County. We could have cross-examined them there, and we never would have had to go to the Board of Tax Appeals or here. So, you know, the Ross case, the Schwartz case, the Moskowitz case, all these cases, these are simple residential property tax cases. They've all had to come right up here to the Supreme Court to get justice. And I do want to just say one other thing. This is an issue of law, not an issue of fact. In my opinion, the court in Moskowitz was wrong, okay? The Moskowitz case is wrongly decided on the law because they relied on uncross-examined evidence of a Board of Revision appraiser's report. Never appeared in court for cross-examination or testimony under oath. So now this court has allowed in unsworn, uncross-examined a report as reliable probative evidence. And I would also point out, I want to trace the genesis of this. In Ross and Schwartz, Justices French and Kennedy were the dissenters. This case was delayed by the court. If you look at when the briefs were submitted, this case was delayed by the court until the new court, the two new justices were seated. And then this case was decided by the court. So Justices French and Kennedy apparently were able to prevail on the two new justices that what was involved here was a question of fact, but it's not. It's a question of law. The burden of proof, the right to cross-examine, the discovery of disputes, these are all questions of law. If this court doesn't want to exercise supervisory power of the Board of Tax Appeals, then that's your prerogative. But I can say to you that this is going to create a lot of cynicism regarding this court, whether it's just a network of people on the public payroll seeking to maximize public revenues. And my prediction for the court is this. If the court chooses to ignore the law and not supervise the Cuyahoga County appraisal authorities, then my prediction is the taxpayers are going to ignore the law and not pay their taxes, because possession is 9/10 of the law. The government has to collect taxes from a taxpayer. If they pay voluntarily, that's fine. But if they feel they're being cheated by the government, they're going to stop paying their taxes, and that'll be the next problem this court has to deal with. Thank you.
Thank you. For the county, Mr. Greenfield.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. My name is Mark Greenfield, if it pleases the court, assistant prosecuting attorney for Cuyahoga County and representing the Cuyahoga County Appellees Board of Revision and fiscal officer. I would like to reserve from my colleague, Mr. Rose, from the Beechwood, representing the Beechwood City School District Board of Education, 5 minutes. Thank you. So without belaboring the point, I disagree with almost everything we just heard from appellant's counsel, and I'm here today to urge this court to affirm the decision of the BTA as reasonable and lawful. This case is about value. While this court will review matters of law de novo, it, of course, will give wide discretion and latitude to the Board of Tax Appeals in considering, weighing, and weighing evidence, and determining its credibility, and absent an abuse of discretion, it will defer to the Board of Tax Appeals. As I just stated a moment ago, This is a case about value and the absolute and unfettered, undeniable failure of the appellant to come forward with any, let alone some, credible, competent, and probative evidence. They presented the following. They for a tax year 2013 case, they presented a July an appraisal done for financing purposes, which this court has found and the BTA has found over and over again. And to your point earlier, there's a long line of cases on many of these points, have found to be less thorough and less complete than a real estate tax valuation appraisal. The appraisal, more importantly, was stated a value as of July 9, 2010, I think is the exact date, roughly 2.5 years prior to the tax lien date in question. So there is no appraisal that states a value as of the tax lien date of 1/1/13. Additionally, and also very importantly, no appraisal testimony at any stage of these proceedings. None. Not at all. So there's no ability of the tribunals to look at the analysis, for the parties to vet the analysis, to consider the many things that the appraiser had to say, let alone get to a point where we would be talking about the tax year in issue, which the appraiser never did.
Let me ask you a question.
Of course.
Mr. Morton, I'd like your response to his comments about the comma procedure and whether it's up to snuff on statistical rigor, scientific rigor. Do you have a response to that?
I do have a response. It is the CAMA procedure is in the revised code, also the Ohio Administrative Code. It's undertaken at law. Any of the testimony, and these are different pieces and parts that go together. As I understand from Shelley Wilson's testimony, I was there, of course, at the Board of Tax Appeals. Mr. Toledo's testimony, Shelley Davis of the Board of Vision was also there. The process was absolutely followed, and that the CAMA, the model, and then the field appraiser, that's all part of the system.
Well,
and what they do.
So is the field appraiser, is that encompassed within the CAMA process? It was my understanding Mr. Toledo is the administrator. He assigned a preliminary value of 1.1.
Based on the CAMA model.
Based on the model. And then a field appraiser was later sent out, and he increased that to 1.492 million. Mr. Morton's brief requests relief in the form of 1.1 million.
It's all part of the mass appraisal. Part of it's computerized, CAMA, and then they send appraisers out to sort of double check the model because, you know, models aren't humans.
And it appears that they disagreed with the model. The model
right,
was 1.1 and they went to 1.492.
Right,
so why
happens.
Are we talking about the model?
Because I think we're talking about the model, and I'm answer your question.
Well,
I think Mr. Appellant is talking about the model because he doesn't have he's trying to put forward a point of law that has been rejected over and over again because he doesn't have probative and credible and competent evidence to for the Board of Revision and then the Board of Tax Appeals to consider what the change and what he's put forward because he hasn't put anything forward for them to get to the point where the fiscal office has to defend the value that was put forth. I hope I answered your question. In other words, he doesn't have facts. He doesn't have evidence of a different value. So he's leapfrogged, the appellant has leapfrogged over that and gone to the point where we're just going to wail on CAMA and the fiscal office without proving that there's anything wrong with what they did as a point of law. Forcing them, as appellant's counsel, appellant would argue, to defend their value before as sort of a jump ball, and that's not legally the case. So, yes, the field appraisers go out following the CAMA, and they're, you know, there's a legion of these people who are hired. They're all certified appraisers, and there's commercial, there's residential, and they go out and they adjust. Adjustments are not typical, but they exist, and this was where one of them occurred. If I did not answer your question, however, you know, I'm here to, you know, answer a follow-up.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. So I've listed the two things, the main thrusts of the appellant's argument on the evidence. They also put out their raw sales, but no, raw sales are just one part of the process, as this court has just stated in Moskowitz. There's no discussion about comparing those raw sales to the property in issue. In other words, they don't take it, they don't know the size, we don't know the location, we don't know the amenities, the age. There's no point of comparison. So they're essentially just a list of things that have happened in a certain, you know, geographical area, but with no explanation, like the appraisal, 2.5 years distant from the tax lien date. So when a BTA has no probative, when a Board of Tax Appeals has no credible, probative, and competent evidence before it, and there's no other evidence in the record of a value that would call into question the fiscal officer's value, their job and their due and their responsibility is to affirm, to affirm what was found by the Board of Vision, and that's what they did. Mr. Morton, for appellant, would argue and has argued, contrary to existing case law, that because the fiscal officer hasn't defended their value, something they do not have to do, then that is an error on their part. That's something they've left on the table for us to challenge. Going back to cases such as West Industries versus Hamilton County Board of Revision, a taxpayer who appeals to the Board of Tax Appeals is not entitled to a deduction claim merely because no evidence is adduced contra to his claim. In LTC Properties versus Licking County, these cases are all in the brief, and many of them are also in the Board of Tax Appeals decision. The county has no burden to defend its value. Columbus City Board of Education versus Franklin County. No burden on the county to prove accuracy of an appraisal went as here, in this case, the appellant has failed to sustain its burden of proof.
Can I interrupt you?
Of course you may.
I'd like to shift off the topic of these value arguments. The appellant's brief has a lot of, I guess for lack of a better word, procedural arguments about how the BTA, if you look at proposition of law number one, the BTA did not decide all the issues in the case. Mr. Morton was talking about a constitutional right to examine the fiscal officer, the Board of Revision's failure to call certain persons to the hearing to testify. Do you have any, pick what you want there. Do you have responses to that?
Or maybe I do. Thank you for drawing my attention to that. So I think the Board of Tax Appeals lumped those things together as being rightly or wrong, and I think rightly, but as an attack on the fiscal officer's value without evidence, calling upon them to come forward to present a defense or to support something they don't have to do. Now, specific to the motion for an order calling persons to appear, the Board of Revision can call people. They can't enforce any of that under 57.15.10. There's no procedure to enforce that. I know that appellant's counsel cited a First Energy, State X Rel First Energy versus Lake County Board of Revision, but that case doesn't support the claim. In fact, I think it's inapposite to his claim that they can have somebody appear there. Additionally, all of those people, or some of those people, were either deposed, Mr. Toledo, and I'll get to the deposition and the the non-resumption of it in a moment. And Mr. Toledo was at the Board of Tax Appeals, as was Shelley Wilson, the head of the DTE, as was Shelley Davis. Appellant's counsel did not subpoena Neil Winans or Mark Parks. Neil is in the appraiser in the fiscal office. Mark Parks was the then fiscal officer. So he had an, I think it's moot. I think that the Board of Revision made the right decision. There's no authority to call them. There's no requirement that they come forward. They made a decision based on a lack of evidence put forth by appellant. And regarding Mr. Toledo's deposition, it's similar. For two and a half hours, appellant's counsel questioned and berated, I would say, Mr. Toledo. But again, all the questions were about the fiscal officer's original value and how they came to that, something they don't have to defend. But again, Mr. Toledo was at the Board of Tax Appeals, had the and appellant's counsel had the opportunity to question everything they did, in addition to which they wanted Mr. Testa to be there. That subpoena was quashed, but Ms. Wilson and Ms. Davis for the Board of Revision. So in addition to that, so he takes these so-called errors, the non-resumption of the deposition, the not having the Board of Vision, not having the persons there at the Board of Vision that appellant's counsel wanted there, and lumps them together and said, I didn't have a chance to confront people. But that's untrue. He did confront those people, but the burden is come forward with probative and competent and credible evidence, and there's a total dearth of that. And I would ask this court to affirm the BTA's reasonable and lawful decision, and I would like to defer, if it is time to do so, to Mr. Rose. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
May it please the court, my name is David Rose, and as Mr. Greenfield indicated, I am legal counsel for the Beechwood City School. We are a party appellee in this matter. Obviously, I think my time is quite short at this point, but I will make a few brief points for purposes of the record here today. I guess initially, I would like to share just a brief excerpt from the BTA decision, which I think sums up this case, in my view, better than I probably ever could. And in the BTA decision, the BTA noted that appellant acknowledged that the basis for the requested value was, quote, just a prayer. And frankly, I think that is the case here. We have a situation where this case originated with a valuation complaint filed with the Board of Revision for tax year 2013 that questioned the valuation of a parcel of residential property in Beechwood. It has since morphed into essentially an attack on the mass appraisal system in Cuyahoga County. We heard a lot from Mr. Morton here this morning, but what we didn't hear was any description of any type of competent and probative evidence that he has presented in furtherance of any value, whether that's the $850,000 on the complaint or the $1,000,001, which he indicated he'd accept today. Regardless of what the value is, we're standing here still with nothing. All we have is raw sales, which have been rejected time and time again by the BTA in this court, in a non-tax lien date appraisal. While there's certainly a lot of bluster and what I guess I would refer to as smokescreen, we're still not receiving any information, any description of what the evidence is to support any value other than that was determined originally by the Cuyahoga County Fiscal Office. For those reasons, we would respectfully request that the BTA's decision is affirmed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Morton, you have a minute and 59 seconds.
Thank you. First of all, regarding the Ohio case law on the validity of Daubert, I have a citation for you. State v. Martens, M-A-R-T-E-N-S.
And that's a criminal case?
Criminal case, 90 Ohio App 3rd, 338. It's a 1993 case, okay? So it explains what's going on there as far as adoption of the Daubert standard. Just briefly, Your Honor, the taxpayer appeared before the Board of Revision and gave her opinion as to the value of the property. And her opinion is probative and competent evidence, the owner opinion rule. So what Mr. Greenfield stated and what Mr. Rose stated are simply not the truth. The taxpayer testified as to what she thought the value of the property was. And I think she said something like, we had an offer of like 700 or 800,000. So obviously she thought the value was the prayer on the complaint, 850. But as I said, the evidence produced at the Board of Tax Appeals actually proved the 1.1 million. So there's plenty of evidence in there. And as far as an unjustified attack on the CAMA system, the evidence of the docket of the BTA crammed with Cuyahoga County cases is all the empirical evidence this court needs to show the flaw in the system. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Morton. This case will be submitted and the parties will be advised of the court's decision.